Let us commence our worship of our great God this morning by turning to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, and it's found on the page 107 and on the screen beside me. Psalm 111, praise ye the Lord with my whole heart. The Lord's praise I will declare where the assemblies of the just and congregations are. And we'll stand as we sing all of the psalm unto the Lord, please.
Thank you.
Amen. You can take your seats once again. Let's all now still our hearts as we bow before the Lord in prayer. Let's all bow our heads in the attitude of prayer. Our Lord and most gracious eternal Father in heaven, we come before one this morning who is greatly to be praised. Even as we have already been singing off this morning, thou hast done great and mighty and wonderful works for which thou art worthy of all of our praise and acceptation. Lord, we think of thy work of creation, all we see in it, the greatness and the wonder of it. We look at the works of providence and we thank thee for all that thou dost for us. And yet how we have to lift up our hearts praise the most for that great work of redemption which thou hast done for thy people. Whenever we think of what thou hast done for us as a sinful and a condemned people, O Lord, how our hearts lift up our praise and thanks to thee for all that thou hast done for us, forever loving us and sending thy dear Son to die on the cross for us. O Lord, how that stirs our minds and our thoughts. However thou couldst love us, how couldst thou love a people who are sinful, a people whose hearts are deceptively wicked, a people who have strayed far from thee. O Lord, thy word says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. O Lord, how great is the wonder of salvation. How great is the wonder of thy love. Oh, we could think upon thy love for all eternity and never fathom out the depths and the greatness of thy love. And yet we have to just simply say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for sending to me thy great salvation so rich and so free. Lord, we do thank thee this morning for all thou hast done for us. We have to say, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And as the hymn writer has said of old, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Oh, how often we go about our day-to-day lives and we fail to thank thee for the simple things of life that we have from thee. And yet we know that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. How often we go about without thanking thee for the strength and soundness of mind that we have. How often we go around without thanking thee for the clothes on our backs or the food on our tables or the roof over our heads. How often we take these things for granted, and yet we have to give thanks to thee, for we know that it is only of thy mercies that we have these things. Oh, how more we could say it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. For, Lord, we deserve thy wrath and thy condemnation. Whenever we consider how far thy people, this land has turned away from thee, whenever we think of the wickedness that surrounds us in the land, Lord, we have to cry, Lord, we have gone far astray. Lord, this land which once knew so much of thee and of thy truth and of thy gospel, this land that used to have a church in every corner and every town and every village across the land, a country which knew much of thy blessing, a country which had many faithful men to thy words and to thy book, a country which has known many great evangelists down through the years, a country which has known much of thy help and of thy blessing and of thy benefit, and yet, Lord, look upon us today in mercy, we ask. Lord, we think even of that great prayer of Habakkuk, how he prayed, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we deserve thy wrath this day. We deserve to be cast away by thee. Whenever we consider how far this land has gone, whenever we look around us today, whenever we even think upon our own hearts, Lord, how wicked we are, Lord, we ask afresh, cleanse us, purge us with hyssop, and Lord, the psalmist said, yes, we shall be whiter than the snow. We ask for a fresh cleansing in thy blood this morning. Lord, purify us, we pray. Lord, set us apart for thee, we ask. Lord, help us even to, within our own hearts, Lord, help us to ask, Lord, sanctify me afresh today. Show me something of thy goodness and of thy grace and of thy wonder today. Lord, we would even ask, as thy servant Moses prayed there upon the mount, Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And so, Lord, we would ask this day, as we gather around thy word in this thy house, Lord, show us thy glory. Show us something of thy greatness and of thy majesty today. And Lord, we are thankful of this privilege which it's ours to gather as thy people in this fashion. We thank thee for the open door of the gospel here in Sandown. We thank thee for each and every person who comes here faithfully week by week. We thank thee for thy servant who preaches thy word faithfully each Lord's Day by Lord's Day. We ask that thou wouldst be with him this morning as he is there across in Donaghadee. Be with him all that he would need. Fill him with thy Holy Spirit, we ask. Give him a word this morning for thy flock in Donaghadee. And Lord, we think of thy people here in Sandown. Lord, thou knowest their needs. Lord, we think of those who are in a time of sickness and can't be with us this morning, those who would dearly love to be out in thy house. We ask that thou wouldst even give them a fresh bill of health and strength. Strengthen them in body and in soul, and be with them this day. Lord, we are not forgetful of those who are going through that difficult time, through a time of bereavement. Lord, we think of the Kennedy family especially today. We ask that thou wouldst be with them. Lord, help them in this trying and difficult time. Lord, may they even know that thou art the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts. May they even know the presence and the nearness of that Comforter. Lord, thou didst promise to thy disciples in the Gospel of John, I will not leave thee comfortless. Lord, may those who have been affected by this bereavement know that thou will not leave them comfortless. But may they know the very nearness of God. May they know the comfort of the Son. And may they know the fellowship of the Spirit. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give help in the service that would lie in the days that come before us. Give help to those who would oversee that service. And we pray that thou wouldst even be glorified in all things. Lord, we know that thy dear servant is with thee, which is far better. What a blessing that is. What an encouragement it is to know that there is that better day when we shall see thee face to face, the one who has saved us by thy grace. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be with us now. Present thyself amongst us. May we hear thy speaking voice and help us as we continue in the attitude of worship. We ask all of these things in thy most precious and worthy name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you turn once again in your hymn book to the hymn number 1, or it'll be on the screen again, hymn number 1 in the hymn book, and you'll find it there on page 175. Hymn number 1, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, and Light Inaccessible, Hid from Our Eyes. And we'll stand once again after the introduction, please.
Oh,
Amen. If you could turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the psalm which we sang a moment ago, Psalm 111. Psalm 111. That's quite a short psalm, so we'll read it in its entirety this morning. Psalm 111. There's only 10 verses in this psalm, but what greatness we see in this psalm. Psalm 111, and commencing at the first verse, the Word of God says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. Sought out of all them have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Amen. We know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this morning. At this moment of time, we're going to ask our brother, Mr. Graham, to come and bring the necessary announcements for the week ahead. Thank you.
On behalf of the Reverend Wilson, the announcements are, I would like to, first of all, bid you all a very warm welcome. And we're very glad to have each and every one with us this morning. And also for those who are watching online, we also like to welcome you. And we have visitors with us this morning, and we'd like to underline that welcome. And particularly, we would like to welcome Laurie with us this morning. Good to see you. And we do trust that the Lord will bless us all as we're gathered here together. And also welcome our preacher this morning, underline the welcome to Mr. Andrew Irwin. And Andrew has just completed his first year in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And on behalf of the session committee and our entire congregation, we want to express our sympathy to Mrs. Shirley Crawford on the home calling of Shirley's mother, Mrs. Lou Kennedy. And also our sympathies to Sophie and all the Crawford and Kennedy family at this sad time. The announcements are as follows in the will of God. On this evening, the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock before the gospel service, which is 6:30, and the speaker will be our own minister, the Reverend Wilson, and the subject, the termination of abortion. And there's also an open-air gospel service tonight in Clarewood after the evening service. Tuesday, Bible study and prayer meeting, and this will be the final study in our Bible study course at this time. On Friday night, there's an ordination installation service for the Reverend Stephen McRae as the new minister of Ballinahinch Free Presbyterian Church, and this meeting will be held in Lisburn and is open to everyone. Sunday the 10th of July, morning worship, 11:30 gospel service, 6:30. Preacher at both services will be Mr. David Warwick, and there will be a time of prayer before each service as well, and an open air in the evening after the service. And finally, please remember the offering boxes which are available. You can place your offering and tithes in the boxes as you leave. And those are all the announcements, and they're all subject to the will of God. Thank you.
I'd like to thank your brother for those words of welcome. It's good to be with you here in Sandown again. It's not that long since I was here, but it's good to renew fellowship with you once again. I'd just like to thank your minister for the invitation to be here this morning. If you turn with me once again in the hymn book to hymn number 40, we're going to sing our final hymn this morning. Hymn number 40 on the page 191. O worship the King, O glorious above, O gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. And once again, we'll stand as we sing unto the Lord. If you turn with me once again to that psalm that we read, Psalm 111, and the focus this morning will be upon the fourth verse of this psalm, Psalm 111 and the verse 4. And the Word of God says there in Psalm 111, verse 4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer before we come to the preaching of His Word. Our Lord and Father in heaven, we thank Thee once again for Thy Word that we have in our hands. We often take it for granted how we have thine inspired word in our own mother tongue. And yet we thank thee again for it. We thank thee that we can even open up thy word in this fashion. And we ask this morning, Lord, that thou wouldst even speak to us from thy word. We ask that thou wouldst open up thy word to us. We ask that thou wouldst show us something new out of thy word this morning. Show us something again of thy wonderful works which thou hast made to be remembered. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With the increasing influence of social media in this day and generation, so many often seem to come into fame overnight. It seems to be that you have to do very little today to become famous. You just have to look on social media or on reality TV programs, and you'd have to think, why are these people famous? What have they done that makes them have such a following of people? Hundreds of thousands of followers, maybe. People flocking to see them in reality. People having stories written about them in the press. And yet, whenever you look at their lives, what have they really achieved? Some of them, you'd have to say, they've done nothing. They've just been on TV, perhaps. They just know someone who's famous. And then everyone thinks, well, there's a famous person. They're worthy of their praise. They're worthy of being looked at. They're worthy of all of our time and attention. And so many today, they want fame and attention for themselves. They want others to look at them and think, well, there's a good person. There's someone who's special. There's someone who I ought to try and emulate. They have one thing in their mind. How can I be remembered? What am I going to do that will cause people to remember me and to think upon me? And yet so often their works, they fall by the wayside. So many people have come and gone and they're not remembered. Yes, you'd have to say, well, what about these famous people? What about someone like Mozart? What about someone like Beethoven? What about all these other famous people? Yes, some are remembered, but so many today, they're forgotten about. Their works, they're not remembered as they wish they would be. And you know, Solomon was a man of much wisdom, and he knew what it was like to have things that weren't remembered. For he said in the book of Ecclesiastes, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Oh, man strives to do all the things to the best of his ability. Man strives to be remembered. Man strives to be great and mighty. And yet Solomon says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And so many today would say, I am vexed because I work and I work and I work, and yet no one remembers what I do. So many people, they want more and more and more. Why? Because they're not satisfied with what they have. And that is true of so many who seek fame and glory. They want to do more and more and more because they don't have enough. So many want to receive more fame and more attention, and all it is vexation of spirit. They're disappointed. They're disappointed because their hopes are dashed. They're disappointed because they're not satisfied. It's all vanity. Maybe this speaks to you. Perhaps you want others to see you and what a great person you are. Maybe you do things thinking, well, maybe someone's going to say something wonderful about me now. Someone's going to take notice of me now. Well, Solomon said, it's all vanity. It's all vain. It's all vexation of spirit. And yet, friends, today there are works which are worthy of being remembered. Not the works of man. Not the works of some reality TV star. Not the works of some pop idol or some movie star. No, the wonderful works of God. These are works which are worthy of being remembered. The psalmist says in Psalm 102 in the 12th verse, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Well, you might not be remembered for all generations. Your works might not endure forever, but the Lord endures forever. The Lord has a remembrance unto all generations. He will be remembered forever and ever, and he is worthy of being remembered. And so that turns us to the passage we have before us, that passage we read a few moments ago in Psalm 111, and in the verse 4, for it says, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. These are works worthy to be remembered. These are works worthy of us to give our thought and attention to. These are not some frivolous works, something that is just a passing thing that is done for time. This is not something which is just done for some person to think well of. No, these are works done by the Lord. These are works done by the Almighty. These are works done which deserve our attention. You might ask, what works are that? What works are those that are worthy to be remembered? There's a work of creation. Isn't it worthy remembering we are created from the dust of the ground? All around us has been fashioned by the hands of the Almighty. There's the works of providence. Everything in this world is ordered by the Lord. Everything is good and acceptable and perfect in God's will. You know, we've been thinking there already today about what goes on around us in the world, how the world has been changing, yet the Lord is still sovereign over all. The Lord is still on the throne. The Lord does everything by his providence. And so often we can think, it's so difficult to understand, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why is that happening in the world? Well, yet it is a wonderful work of God because it is done by his providence. What greater work could we think of this morning than the work of redemption? That great work done by our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby he has redeemed his people out of the bondage of sin into his glorious light. Well, these are works worthy of our remembrance. And so I want you just to consider with me this morning, just remembering the wonderful works of the Lord. And first of all, I want you to notice with me the need to remember his works. The psalmist says here in Psalm 111 in the verse 4, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. To be remembered. This implies not only can they be remembered, and yes, they can, but it implies they must be remembered. These are things which you must have in the forefront of your mind. Because he has made them to be remembered, you must remember them. This is something that is essential, something that is imperative in the life of the Christian. We must remember what the Lord has done for you and for me. Well, this word remembered we have in the verse 4. If you were to look at the original language, it could also be rendered as memorial. So literally we could read this verse, he hath made a wonderful memorial. Now whenever you think of a memorial, I wonder what do you think of? I know whenever I think upon that word, I think of, there you see the cenotaph. A monument set up as a memorial. Something for all generations to look to and remember something that's happened. Think there on Remembrance Day, you see the people walking down, laying the wreaths at that cenotaph. They're remembering what's happened in days gone past. And this is what the psalmist is getting at here in this psalm. The Lord has made a memorial for his people. He's made something whereby he will be remembered forever and ever. Indeed, this exact language is used by the Lord to Moses before the burning bush. Because the Lord says before Moses, he says, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. The Lord has given his name as a memorial, something to be remembered by his people for all generations. And so the psalmist here is saying in Psalm 111, there are things which have been set up by the Lord to be remembered forever and ever. And you might say, well, why is this done? Why is it needful for us to remember what God has done for us? Why is the psalmist emphasizing here about the essential nature of remembering the works of God? Well, I believe that it's twofold. Firstly, they are a reminder of God's past dealings with us. That is the primary purpose of a memorial, to remember what has happened in the past and to cause us to think upon it. It's always important for us to remember what the Lord has done for us, to remember how he has helped us, how he has delivered us, how he has strengthened us, how he has guided us. The Lord's people should never be forgetful. We shouldn't be forgetful of his mercies. You know, in the time of prayer before the service, it was mentioned numerous times of the faithfulness of the Lord, how the Lord is ever faithful to his people. And we ought to remember the faithfulness of God. You know, he's known as many names throughout Scripture. One of the names that crops up numerous times is he is the rock. And what does that signify? It signifies he is one who is faithful, one who is stable, one who is strong, one who is unchanging. The Lord is our rock. The Lord is always faithful to his people, and we ought to remember that. You know, if we forget to remember what the Lord has done for us, we lose sight of God. We lose sight of what he has done for us, and then you lose out with him. If you forget what God's done for you, you aren't living with all of the blessings of God. You become complacent, you become stagnant, and you forget all the great blessings and benefits that you have in him. Can we not say, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad? The Lord has been with us and helped us through many trials and difficulties. The Lord has given us so much and given us so much help in days gone past. You know, it's necessary to remember what the Lord has done so that we don't stray. Because when you forget what God has done for you, the devil's never far away. The devil's never far away from throwing temptation at you or from trying to draw you away from the love of God. You know, this was very clear to the children of Israel, for we read in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, and he says to them, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life." Moses says, be diligent and remember. Be careful. Remember what God has done for you, lest you forget. Lest you depart from all of these things which we have been taught of God. You could think of that hymn that we sing often at communion times. King of my life, I crown thee now. Isn't there a line that says, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary? The child of God ought always to be remembering what God has done for them, and most especially in the theme of redemption. I wonder if you thought today about salvation. Have you thought today about how God has loved you with an everlasting love? How God has reached down and saved you? We shouldn't go a day without thinking upon God's wonderful redemption. Of what God has done for us, how he has lifted us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. That always ought to be in our minds. We ought to always remember what he has done for us. The psalmist says in Psalm 103, he hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We don't deserve his mercy or his goodness. Do you think upon his mercy? Do you think upon what he has done for you? Oh, God's works are a wonderful reminder of his past dealings with us. But God's wonderful works are also a reassurance of his future dealings with us. Because whenever you see a memorial, it causes you not only to think about the past, but also causes you to think, what's going to happen in the future? What's going to come in the days that lie ahead? And there's a wonderfully comforting aspect in this verse in Psalm 111. Because the psalmist is saying, yes, he has made his works to be remembered. They remind us about the past. But when you make something to be remembered, it gives you great hope for the future. Whenever you think about what the Lord has done for you in the past, it gives you great hope for the future. Because we serve a God who is unchangeable, a God who is unmovable, a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that what he has done for you in the past, be very sure he can do for you in the future. You know, we can be afraid of so much in these days. We can be afraid of the unknown in the future. I'm sure these last couple of years have proven that. We've been unsure of what's going to happen down the line. And yet the Word of God, time and time again, says two simple words. fear not. Fear not. And whenever we link those two thoughts together, the Word of God tells us to fear not, and whenever we remember what God has done for us, what cause is there for us to fear? Well, this was a theme that Samuel brought before the children of Israel. Whenever they had asked for a king, and Samuel was vexed in his spirit, and he wanted to get across to the people, they needed to follow the Lord. He said to them these words, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things the Lord hath done for you." When we consider what God has done for us in the past, it causes us to go on and serve him in the future. Whenever we remember how great things he hath done for us, we will serve him with fear and holiness of heart. I wonder, are you thinking upon what God has done for you? Are you going forward with the Lord? Are you serving him with that fear and truth in your heart as Samuel spoke of? And you're thinking of God's past dealings with us. Should cause us to see that if he's done it for us in the past, he will do it again. And again. For he is that unchangeable one. Oh yes, we are changeable. We are finite, but he is infinite. He is unchangeable. Unchangeable in goodness, in love, and mercy. When we look at those memorials that remind us of the past, think also of the future. Think of what he will do for us in the days that lie ahead. But notice also with me, secondly, how are his works to be remembered? Because the psalmist says in this verse, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. And really, this could be construed in two ways. Yes, he has made them, firstly, with the design or intent that they would be remembered. But he's also made them to be remembered, or rather, he has caused them to be remembered. The Lord has made his works in such a way that they will be remembered. As we intimated in the introduction, people go around and they do things and yet they're forgotten about. But God has made his works in such a way that they will be remembered. I believe there are three ways by which God's mighty and wonderful works are easily remembered by us. And firstly, they are written in creation. All we have to do is look round about us and we see God's wonderful works. C.H. Spurgeon, that great preacher of bygone days, he says this, "He is wisest who reads both the world book and the word book as two volumes of the same work, and feels concerning them, my Father wrote them both." Whenever we look at the world book around us, and whenever we look at the word book, which is the word of God, God has made them both. And they match up evenly and show us that God has created all things by the power of his word. The greatness and the wonder of God is clearly evident around us. Just look at the stars in the night sky. Those millions and millions and millions of stars. Millions and millions of miles away. I can't even take it in. Scientists don't even understand how far out space extends. All you have to do is look at the animal world. Look at the wonder of creation. Look at how intricately and complexly they're designed. What a God we serve. You know, coming from an engineering background, I often like watching engineering programs. And whenever you look at those programs, you often see engineers trying to design things in a new way. And you know, so often they look at creation for their inspiration. Because their own understanding and wisdom, they cannot understand how to combat some problem. And therefore they turn to creation for their answers. Man's wisdom cannot fathom every solution, and yet God has created all things. God has created every single thing on this earth. God has created our bodies with every function that we need. God has caused the rain to fall on the ground, the plants to grow up out of the ground. He's provided us with every single thing we need in his created world. Oh, the psalmist was right when he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Well, the wonderful works of God, they're written in creation, and then, most obviously, they're written in his word. All you have to do is look through the word of God and you'll see many, many wonderful works of God. Right through time, right through thousands of years, this word of God contains many wonderful works which the Lord has wrought. We read of creation. We read of many works of deliverance. We read of many times of mercy shown by the Lord to his people. We read of how he brought his people out of the land of Egypt, how he provided manna from heaven, how he provided water out of the rock. These are wonderful works of God, all contained for us in his word, all to remind us of what he has done in the past and what he shall do in the future. We read in Psalm 33 and the verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." The word of God is right or just or pure or perfect. And therefore, because his word is perfect and true and just, everything within it is also true. There's not one lie in the word of God. There's not one contradiction in the word of God. But everything it says is absolutely and wholly true. And therefore, we know that whenever we read of a wonderful work of God in the Bible, we know that it happened. We know that it happened absolutely and unequivocally. And then the psalm says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." There he is, emphasizing it again. Everything that the Lord has done is true. All his works are truth. All his works are good. All his works are perfect. They're written in creation, they're written in his word, but the works of God are also written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And most especially, the work of redemption is written on our hearts. Whenever you are saved by grace, you know in your heart that you are saved. So many people, they lack assurance, and they wonder, how can I know that I am saved? How can I know for sure that the Lord has saved me by his grace? Well, the Apostle Paul had something to say on this in the book of Romans. For in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 16, he says these words, "The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit." The Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. We know within ourselves by the witness of the Holy Spirit that we are saved. The Lord gives that peace that passeth all understanding. The Lord gives a testimony within us that we are saved. The Holy Spirit testifies that you're born again. It's written on your heart, child. It's written on your heart, friend, that you are saved. I wonder, do you have that testimony and that witness this morning? Do you have that witness of the Spirit that you are saved by God's grace? Has there been that time when you have come before the Lord seeking for his forgiveness, casting all of your burdens upon him? He's the same God. He can save you today. He is all-powerful. He can do this wonderful work of redemption in your heart today. Oh, it would be wonderful if you had that testimony in your heart today of the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. John says in his first epistle in 1 John 5, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." When we believe on the Son of God, we have a witness, a testimony in ourselves. God's work of redemption is written on our hearts. And so it's clear to see that all of these wonderful works of God, they are clearly seen all around us. They're written in creation around us. They're written in his word, and they're written in our hearts. Oh, God's wonderful words indeed have been made to be remembered. Are you remembering them today? Are you going through life just carefree? Just forgetting everything that's happened? Just thinking, well, I'm saved now. I'll not bother remembering anything. I won't take in any of the word of God. I wonder, are you remembering? Are you remembering the words which we have in Holy Scripture? But notice thirdly with me what his works remind us of. For the works of the Lord provide us with so much to think upon. And in this verse in Psalm 111, I believe the psalmist has three avenues of thought in his mind. Because first of all, we see the greatness of the Lord, because he says he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. His wonderful works, it shows something of the greatness of the Lord. Because it shows something of the wisdom, the power, the might, the majesty of the Lord. Whenever you think of creation, that shows the greatness of the Lord. Only one has such power. You and I, we could stand around and we could say as many words as we want, but we'd never speak anything into existence. We could try and change the direction of the wind, but we could never do that by ourselves. All creation shows the greatness of the Lord. Providence, those works of God, those show the greatness of the Lord. You know that word, wonderful, in our text in Psalm 111, verse 4. Elsewhere in Scripture, it is translated as miracles. The Lord has done miracles to be remembered. And miracles make us think upon the greatness of God. Because only one can do miracles. Only one has such power and such might and such greatness. Only the Lord is able to do miracles. Only one has such power. Only one can do these things which seem impossible to man. And what seems more impossible to man than changing the heart? From lifting one out of the miry clay and putting them upon the rock. I can't save myself. Friend, you can't save yourself. But only one is great enough and powerful enough to save your soul. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one is great enough to do this. You know, I think today we seem to think so little upon the greatness of God. So often we think about the mercy of God. We think about the grace of God. And yes, these are things that we ought to think upon. But how often do you think about the immensity of God? The awesomeness of God? The greatness of God? You know, the children of Israel, they had a great fear of God. They had a great reverence for God. But so often today in Christian circles, we seem to be almost flippant about coming to worship God. We don't come with that stillness and reverence in our hearts, knowing we come before the great Almighty God. Well, the Lord is great. He's far above all things. We ought to serve him with fear and humility because he is a great God and greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints. But we see also here in this verse, the psalmist speaks of the graciousness of the Lord. For he says there, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious to man in so many ways. I wonder, have you ever thought upon this? The Lord has been gracious simply in creating us. The graciousness of God was first of all seen simply by creating man. For in creating man, nothing was added to God. Nothing was added to God, for he has all he ever needs. He's unchangeably the same. Man was the sole beneficiary of creation. Man was brought into a state where he could commune with God. Man was brought into a state of perfection. Man was brought into a state where he had all that he needed, all was provided for him. Creation showed the graciousness of God. But firstly, we really had to focus upon the grace of God in saving our souls. If you are saved and redeemed by God's grace, can you not say how gracious God is to me? Whenever you think of how many times you have fallen before him, how many times you have sinned against him, how many times you have failed him and fallen short of his glory, and yet he's not cast you off. Yet he hasn't thrown you off into outer darkness. He still loves you today. Despite how weak and feeble we often feel, despite how often we fail the Lord, yet he's gracious to us. He's still merciful. Do you know what the word grace means? Simply means unmerited favor. Receiving something that you don't deserve. Well, we don't deserve anything of the Lord except his wrath and judgment. And yet he has given us his only begotten Son, sending him to die on the cross for you and for me. All his wonderful works remind us of his graciousness. We think there of Ephesians 1 and verse 7, which speaks of our dear Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his riches of grace. Oh, he is rich in grace. He has so much grace. I wonder if you experienced his grace today. Have you experienced his graciousness in your life? He's able to abundantly pardon. He's able to forgive you every single one of your sins, for he is a gracious God. But we see here that the works of God show us the greatness of the Lord. They remind us of the graciousness of the Lord, but they also remind us of the goodness of the Lord. For there in the end of our verse, we see the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is compassionate. And compassion is simply the demonstration of sympathy of one from a higher position to someone in a lower needy position. It's being sympathetic to someone who you can see is clearly in need. And this is what the Lord does for us. The Lord is far above all in heaven. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he shows sympathy to you and to me. You know, the psalmist says elsewhere in the Psalms, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me." That's compassion. The Lord is full of compassion. He's long-suffering, he's merciful, he's gracious. Oh, he's so good to us. I wonder if you thank the Lord for his goodness to you today, for your health and your strength, for the privilege of coming out to the house of God, for the friends and family that you have, and for all that he has given to you. You know, the Lord, he's not some irrational or disconnected God who has no feelings for us. No, he cares immensely for us. He is great, he is gracious, but oh, he is good. His mercy endureth forever. The Lord is full of goodness and full of compassion. He's full of compassion. It's not just some compassion or a measure of compassion which when you use up, there's no more to receive. No, he is full, he is overflowing with compassion. Or he says in the New Testament, "Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden." Why? Because he's compassionate. He wants you to receive his care and his mercy. Or we could think of compassion on a human level if we were just to take a moment or two. We could think of the family circle. Think of the compassion in family life. You have fatherly kindness. You have motherly tenderness. You have family affections, sympathy, acts of kindness. And yet every single one of these are met in their fullest kind by the Lord. The Lord has greater love than any father could have. The Lord shows greater tenderness than any mother could show. The Lord shows greater sympathy than any brother or sister. Oh, the Lord is so good to us. Do you recognize that today? How good the Lord is to each and every one of us. Well, the psalmist says, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity." You know, as parents, you can forgive your children. You can forgive your grandchildren. Yet it might take a bit of time. You might still be angry with them. And you might think, "I wish they wouldn't do that thing, but I'll forgive them." But the Lord forgives us unconditionally. The Lord forgives us unequivocally. The Lord is full of compassion towards his people. Oh, do you see the goodness of God this morning? The Lord has made wonderful works to be remembered. Wonderful works to be remembered. And they're worthy of us remembering them today. They're worthy to remind us of what he has done for us in the past and to reassure us of what he will do in the future. Well, maybe you're going through a difficult time this morning. You're struggling to understand why things are happening. Think upon these things. Think upon what the Lord has done for you in times gone past, and that will bring much blessing and comfort to your soul. Let's all bow in a word of prayer.